Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, March 24th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, that was quite a winter, wasn't it? But spring is sort of here, right? It feels springish. With the change of season, we always want to bring a meteorologist on so we can complain about the past season and look ahead to the new season. Today, we welcome meteorologist Ryan Finn of Spectrum News One. Ryan is a Troy native, SUNY Albany grad. After 5 years in Syracuse, he's back in this region working for the Spectrum News One Capital Region team. You got a question about the weather? Call 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Or even if you just want to complain, voxpop@wamc.org. That's the email. See you after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We welcome Spectrum News One meteorologist Ryan Finn today. Ryan is a SUNY Albany grad, a proud native of Troy, New York. He's a full-time meteorologist with the Spectrum News One Capital Region team. Spectrum News One is available exclusively on Spectrum Cable for customers in the New York State Capital Region, including Saratoga, Glens Falls, Pittsfield. It offers 24-hour local news, politics, features, and weather 7 days a week. Spectrum does a fantastic job with the weather. Last week, I think it was last week, when I thought my house was blowing away in the middle of the night, turned them on. They were doing live Doppler and just great weather reports after midnight. The weather team was there. You have a weather question? Let's try Ryan Finn out and see if he knows what he's doing. 800-348-2551 is our number. 1-800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Ryan Finn, welcome. First time on the show. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
You know, I do this right around the change of seasons every year, and I got to say something, man. This winter stank. It was bad. How bad was it?
Well, I mean, it only stunk if you're not a snow fan and you're not a skier.
It was cold, though. You know, we got 20 inches of snow out by my house and then about 6 weeks of really cold weather.
I tell people like you that say this to me that it's the first legit Capital Region winter that we've had in 5 or 6 years where it was colder than it should have been and it was a little snowier than it should have been.
Well, you're a pretty young guy, but back in the day when I was a kid around here, we got slammed with some bad years. And I've often talked about this with meteorologists. It's this weird sort of just way you remember things. Oh, it was way worse when I was a kid. The weather, the snow was up to my head and everything else. Do you remember a bad winter when you were a kid over in Troy?
Yeah. 96, 98, 2003, when I graduated high school, we had a really bad storm around Christmas and then another really bad storm around New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Even when I graduated college, my senior year, we had a really bad one on Valentine's Day. And then about a month later, on St. Patrick's Day.
I think I remember that Valentine's Day one. That's not a lot of fun. I remember Christmas, and we were living in Albany at the time. And I think it might have been 2000. Was it 02? We got wailed, and I was shoveling, and not generally that happy.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you.
But I do blame the meteorologist when that happens.
Everyone does.
And that's a problem. How long have you been doing weather?
So I've been doing weather since the summer of 2008. I started with Fox 23 here in Albany.
Yeah.
And I worked for a little under a year before I went out to Syracuse for a little over 5 years.
Okay. Syracuse, sort of right in that snow belt area.
Yep.
Was it more difficult to predict weather accurately there or here in the Capital Region?
I would say that during the winter, it is more difficult to predict weather out in central New York. Lake effect snow, for my money, is the toughest thing to forecast.
Why? I mean, you know it's coming, though, right?
You know it's coming, but the wind direction, even if it's 2 degrees different than what you think it's going to be or what the weather models say it's going to be, mean one place getting maybe 2 feet of snow and a place that's 3 miles to the south getting absolutely nothing. So if you tell someone in Syracuse that you're getting 20 inches of snow and, you know, a few miles north in Baldwinsville, New York, they get 20 and Syracuse gets none. You're wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a little tough.
My mom used to live out in Cato.
Oh, yeah. Cato gets crushed, too.
They got slammed.
Right on the lake in northern Cayuga County. I know exactly where that is.
Number to call here is 800-348-2551 if you have a weather question for meteorologist Ryan Finn of Spectrum News 1. I got to say, though, I said it in the intro here, it was great. When the wind was so loud, it woke us up. And I said, well, I don't know, something bad is happening, and you guys were right there, man. You guys do a good job.
Yeah, we were speaking earlier. I said that the past 3-4 months, we've had some very strong wind events that have taken place outside of thunderstorms or anything tropical, and it's been tough. We've had a lot of power outages. We just had one last week.
Yeah.
Knocked out power to my house and ripped some siding off my house.
Did you? Oh, so how'd you get that back on?
I got up on the ladder and my wife held it for me and went up there with some siding nails and nailed it back in.
send your wife up. I mean, yeah. I don't know. 800, ours stayed on somehow, and I don't know why, because the wind was just, and you make a great point. There were so many times where no bad weather, just wind cranking. Any reason for that?
We just had, over the past several months, we've had some very strong cold fronts come through, sometimes with not much precipitation and other times with some heavy snow squalls. And behind it, just crazy wind as we get a different, like a different pressure system coming in.
Okay, let's go into the mechanics of that for a little bit before we jump to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Ryan Finn is our guest. Ryan is a meteorologist at Spectrum News 1. So, you just said something that I find interesting. Cold fronts coming in, and then behind that is where the energy is, and that's because it is a different, like it's a low pressure system or a high pressure system?
You have it. That's part of it, and also sometimes you will have a area of low pressure, a storm system, very close to an area of high pressure with nicer weather coming in. And there is just a differentiation in pressure that creates the strong wind. That's all wind is, you know, different pressure.
So it doesn't matter which is the leading edge, high pressure or low pressure, either way, you're going to get wind.
Yep, we can have it in both situations, yes.
Ryan Finn is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And let's see. Well, you know what? You want to call or you want to keep talking?
Whatever you want.
All right, let's go to Glens Falls. Matt's on. Hello, Matt.
Oh, hey there, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call.
You bet.
Ryan, I had one question about what's the difference between sleet and freezing rain? My father got in a letter exchange with my third grade teacher about the very subject, and I never got the full answer.
So that's a good question. There's also some great memes around the internet that also show the differentiation. It has to do with the temperature that is at the surface opposed to thousands of feet above your head. When you have a freezing rain scenario, you have the temperature at 32 or below near the surface, maybe up to about 500 feet. And then the higher up you go, you have temperatures that are warmer than freezing.
Oh, so it's an inversion?
Yes, so it's an inversion.
Okay.
Weather savvy. Not a lot of people know what an inversion is.
That's about all I got. Anyway, keep going.
Thank you.
So way up high in the cloud, you'll have precipitation come down as snow. It'll fall into that warmer layer and melt into rain. And then it gets close to the surface and it doesn't have enough time to go back to snow or go to sleet. So it hits an untreated surface as freezing rain.
Ah.
Now, sleet, it's similar. You'll start as snow way up high. It falls into a warm layer in the middle. And you might get your cold layer that is a little higher. Maybe you have 32 and below, 2,000 feet up, all the way down to the surface. So it has enough time to come down and freeze into an ice pellet.
Oh, there you go. Is that how you get those little round
ice?
Thanks a lot, Matt. Appreciate it. Those little tiny ice balls they're not quite snow. They're not quite sleet. Well, you know what I'm talking about?
That's either you can talk about grapple.
Grapple, that's it.
Yeah.
How does that form?
That's formed very similar. You have grapple and we went sleet, freezing rain, and grapple.
That's enough.
Yeah.
That's good for me. Ryan Finn is our guest from Spectrum News One. We'll take a quick break here. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. It's weather today. If you had a lousy winter, this is the guy you want to complain to. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC, Ray Graff with you, joined today by Ryan Finn, a meteorologist at Spectrum News One and the Capital Region team. 800-348-2551 if you have a weather question for Ryan. I understand that they've named an atmospheric model after me, which I think is really great.
It's a good model, too.
Oh, yeah.
One that we show on TV.
All the time.
What is it?
So the acronym is the exact same name as your last name.
Graph, huh?
It's called the Graph.
I'll be darned.
And IBM is the company that produces it. And it stands for, I just had a brain fart. I told you about it earlier.
That's fine. It stands for something. It's fine. The models themselves. Now, so the Graph model, as you explained it to me, it's a 72-hour prediction model?
Yes. And let me tell you, global high-resolution atmospheric forecast. That's the acronym for
it. Okay, fair enough.
Yes. And when we talk about weather models, we have a bunch that we look at on a daily basis. You might hear about the American model or the European model.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch that we look at. And the Graph is a very good short-term weather model that not just myself, but all my other friends at Channel 13 and ABC and CBS6, they show that on a daily basis on television because it's so good at showing a day or two out.
You know, the models seem to have gotten so much better, and we'll get to your calls in a minute. 800-348-2551. My wife and I were remarking when the hideous, huge amount of snow and then cold weather came, just how accurate the predictions generally were about, oh, you're going to get slammed with snow, and then the cold weather is going to hit, and it's going to stick around for a long time. They nailed it. The models, you know, you go back to Superstorm Sandy, and you go back to Ike and some of these other ones. The models have improved, haven't they?
Some have definitely improved, and that has to do with certain governments putting more money into them. There is also a ton of private weather models that private companies are developing for, you know, everyone's use, but also their own use when it comes to the weather.
Explain to me, when you say the government's putting money in, just processing power, or is it sats, or is it weather balloons? What are we investing in when we improve the models?
So it's a bunch of things. It is processing power. It is, you know, research, more weather balloons, and more ways to get actual real-time data definitely help these things, whether it's a weather balloon or instruments that are attached to planes and ships that give us weather data to pump into these things. Those are some of the ways that governments and private companies will invest into that type of stuff.
Are you worried at all that the models will get so good that you'll be out of a job? I mean, I respect meteorologists so much because it's both a science and sort of an art form.
Yes, and I definitely believe that that is going to happen at some point. You know, there are AI weather models. There's a bunch of them.
Are they any good?
They're not that great right now.
No.
They're obviously going to get better. What I believe, especially as a broadcast meteorologist, and what I do on TV or on the radio like this, is just a niche thing of the entire field. There's so many more jobs outside of being on television or on radio. But when it comes to broadcasting, I think people like to hear a certain voice or see a certain face, and they like their people and their certain personalities.
Yeah.
So that makes me optimistic that it's going to the industry is going to continue for at least a little while longer in that sense.
When did you know you wanted to do this?
So that's a great question. I've always loved the weather since I was a little kid. I went to SUNY Albany. I had zero desire to do television. My student advisor at the time, who was also one of my professors, asked me if I wanted to do a TV internship at Channel 6 with Mike Augustinek, who's no longer there,
yep,
and Steve LaPointe.
Uh-huh.
And to me, they were my favorite people to watch on TV, and I just viewed them as smart guys. So while I didn't really have any desire to be on TV, I wanted to absorb and hang out with two of the guys that I like to watch on television. And then once I started doing it, I kind of caught the bug and then didn't want to do anything different.
And so you're going to stick with this?
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, I'm older than you, but in the 70s, the meteorologists were just kind of TV people, and they didn't really have to know everything that you know.
It's true. Like
the meteorologist, the weather guy on one channel, he also hosted a bowling show on Sundays and this and that. You guys have taken this to a scientific level that I think is really great. And again, Spectrum News One does a heck of a nice job. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to, get ready on the volume pot there, Mike Bowen, because it's Merle in Argyle. He can get a little loud. Hello, Merle, you're on.
Yeah, my hearing aid is set.
Welcome. How are you?
Okay. I'm doing okay. I'll just be playing with the phone. All right, my question has to do with, and I don't think, this is like the first year I've heard so much of, I'm going to use a Carlin word here, hoarfrost.
Okay.
And
hoarfrost?
Freezing, yeah, hoarfrost opposed to freezing fog. And
okay.
I've seen frozen fog on the tree line. I thought it was mist, the clouds, until I got up close, and then all the trees were just covered in ice.
Uh-huh.
And the grounds weren't covered in ice. It was just the trees.
Well, what do you think?
Is that what freezing frost is?
Freezing fog. All right, explain
fog.
Freezing fog.
Fog.
Yes.
I was going to say, what you're describing to me sounds like, at least on the trees, the hoarfrost. But we've also had a lot of freezing fog this year, especially because we've had such a deep snowpack around our area. And there's been multiple times where we've had some warmer air coming over the top of that for a time to create the fog. And then the temperature drops down to 32 or below. We've had a few times where we've had freezing fog advisories around the area, and also have it make for
how
some bad traveling.
How what, Merle?
How thick does it get on the tree?
How thick?
It seemed to me when I was looking at it, but I was driving at the time.
Right.
It was a half inch thick.
Oh, then that's
around
not
every branch.
Okay. I don't think that's freezing fog. Then that must have been from freezing rain. Usually, freezing fog it doesn't even measure a hundredth of an inch of flat ice accretion. So that was probably maybe more freezing rain that you had.
Okay.
From that. The roads were clear.
Yeah.
That's why I'm
interesting.
Saying it was just, but with the trees were, maybe it was just because I was driving and I didn't see it, but it was fascinating to watch. It was like a wonderland driving through the trees with the,
it's pretty.
Yeah.
Trees all covered in frost.
Hey, Merle, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's Vox Pop today. It's weather because, you know, spring has sprung. It's a little chilly for my taste, but it'll get warm soon. I guess, by the way, I saw something in the news, some headline that I didn't follow up on today. It's going to be hot across the country soon.
Out in the west, out in the desert southwest, Vegas, 3 days of record highs where it's between 95 and 100. Usually a lot of the time when there is a big heat ridge out there, there is a trough in the northeast and we get really cold. But this week is kind of seasonable. It's not super cold.
Yeah.
And it's really a quiet week outside of it raining at some point Thursday afternoon. The rest of the week is going to be dry for us, I think.
Oh, good.
So
what about the winds? It's playing havoc with my grilling.
Thursday and Thursday night look pretty windy. But beyond that time period,
yeah.
I think we're in pretty good shape with the wind.
Ryan Finn is our guest today from Spectrum News One. It's weather today, 800-348-2551. Chris writes in, how high up in the atmosphere do you go with your daily studies?
Oh, we go up to the jet stream layer where the airplanes fly, 30, 40,000 feet. Definitely look at that layer every single day to see the wind direction, how strong it is up there, because that affects a lot of what happens at the surface ultimately when we're forecasting every day. So, you know, when we talk about, like, in weather terms, we don't talk maybe so much, I'm looking up 30, 40,000 feet. We go in millibars. So we look at the 200, 300 millibar.
So this is level. Pressure?
That, yes. And also, I mean, it's also just another way to, that's like higher up.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But that's where the airplanes fly. And that is where a lot of the time our weather systems are carried at that level of the atmosphere, that high up. So
our number here is 800-348-2551. Our guest is Ryan Finn. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Let's go to Susan in Sunderland, Massachusetts. Susan, you're on.
Hi. I have two related questions. And the first one, talking about wind, there's been, to me, it seems like I've lived in Sunderland a long time. We live along the Connecticut River, so it's the Connecticut River Valley. It seems like the wind patterns have really changed dramatically, and there's much more wind to contend with for all kinds of reasons. And so that's question number one. Is there some thought behind that? And the second question is, Ray's been complaining about the winter. It was a real winter.
Yeah, it sure was.
It was wonderful snow. It was beautiful. It was cold. And my question is, I've heard that because the Arctic is melting, that these polar vortexes are going to be impacting us more and more, because we're going to get more winters like this because of the melting of the Arctic. So those are my two questions.
Okay.
So I have a question for you about the wind, if you can maybe answer it for me. Have you noticed what direction these higher wind events and adverse wind events, like what the direction has been?
Well, in general, my perception is our weather comes west to east. So I think it tends to be west and northerly winds from the west and the north.
Yeah. And, you know, I know it might seem unusual, and maybe there's been higher instances of it this winter just because it's been a more active winter than what we've seen in the past 5 or 6 years. I was telling Ray that before we came on air, and a lot of the time our average wind direction in, you know, the 4 months that we consider winter around here is either west or northwest, especially when we get a system coming through.
Yeah.
And I think just we've had a higher frequency of them coming through compared to 5 or 6 years ago. And maybe it's just more noticeable to you in that sense. Mm. As for the polar ice caps melting and that having an effect on us seeing, you know, more polar vortex, or the polar vortex itself dropping closer to us and further south, and a higher frequency than it has been, that's certainly possible, because when you add water to the oceans, it will ultimately affect and change how the weather is going to happen at any time in the year, and also create more extreme weather. And it's possible that we see more extreme cold because of that happening.
Our guest today is Ryan Finn from Spectrum News One, and it's weather today on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. Bonnie is in Newburgh. Hello, Bonnie. Go ahead. Bonnie's very quiet. Let's see. Bonnie might be on hold. Hello, Bonnie. Are you there? Hello. Okay, goodbye. And we'll go to Bill in LaGrange. Hello, Bill. You're on.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, how's it going?
It's going great.
So I know that the past two summers, the latter half of the past two summers, have been extraordinarily dry here in the Hudson Valley. Why was that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I'm a trout fisherman, and water levels were very, very low. So we couldn't do any stream fishing here in the Hudson Valley because, you know, we just had such prolonged droughts. The water levels were so low in the rivers and in the Bashkill swamps and in Sullivan County. And what's your prognostication? Are we going to have another dry summer like we've had in the past two summers?
Wow. So long prediction.
We've definitely had some drought issues, especially down where you live in the mid and lower Hudson Valley, the past couple of summers. As to a very large scale reason for it, I'm not sure I can answer that. I can tell you that, you know, just remembering back to the weather during those time periods, the past couple of years, we had giant areas of high pressure that gave us very long stretches of dry weather that nothing seemed to move along.
Mm-hmm.
And not only in term with drought, which was awful because of that. I mean, drought was one of the reasons also that we've had wildfire issues down in the lower Hudson Valley the past couple of summers as well. But as to a larger driving force on a global scale, I'm not sure I can answer that for you right now.
All right. Well, thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the number. Ryan Finn is our guest today. Is it tougher for you to predict weather over maybe a 3-4 day period or 5 days in river valleys or over higher terrain?
Oh, definitely higher terrain, especially in the winter time. Just in terms of weather prediction, I tell everyone that, you know, we're pretty good out to day four. And then beyond day four, I like to say is fantasy land. Not that we're always wrong, you know, 5, 6, 7. And it's always nice to have some semblance of an idea on Monday what the weekend is going to look like.
But people are just going to get mad if 7 days out, when you're really, it's kind of throwing the dice.
Yeah.
If you get it wrong, people who watch will be upset, right?
It's true. And the forecast changes every day. So if you watch on Monday and then you don't watch again on Friday and you're upset about what Saturday looks like now, you know, things change.
One thing you told me, we're going to take a break in a minute, and then we'll get back to the email bag and the phones, 800-348-2551 or voxpop@wamc.org. One of the things you told me that I was somewhat surprised about is that on Spectrum News One, when the weather gets bad, you don't have a director saying, your time is up, pal. A lot of the broadcast stations, it's very tight. You got 5 minutes, you got 7 minutes maybe in bad weather. You can go as long as you need.
Yep. We definitely have severe weather protocol. During severe thunderstorm warnings, we are live at every one of our weather hits. If we have a tornado warning, we are live wall to wall until that tornado warning ends. There's been a few times where I have been up there for an hour and a half straight, just giving information, talking, because it was a tornado that might have been observed on the ground, and the National Weather Service just kept extending the warning, so we stay on.
How are you getting the data in real time if you're on the air? You're obviously not at the computer, you're on TV.
Well, I mean, I can just hop over to the computer in the studio, it's next to me. And certain times of the day, I'm not the only person in there, the only meteorologist, I should say, that's in there. And I've got a couple good producers that will run in and maybe mouth something to me or hold up a piece of paper saying confirmed tornado on the ground or injuries here or something.
Yeah.
But there's ways to, you know, kind of get the updates and get the latest that you need.
Do you ever want a tornado chase? You want to go out there?
I've done it.
You've done it?
Yeah, I've done it. I did it.
Why? Why? Why?
You know what? I tell people that it can be exciting, but it's also very boring, especially it's about to be tornado season out in the Midwest.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not hating on the Midwest, but it's a lot of nothing out there.
Yeah.
And storm chasing entails a lot of driving with a lot of nothing to see, and also driving a whole day just to get to a certain point to maybe see a tornado. So while it can be very exciting and very exhilarating, there is a lot of boring downtime and a lot of driving time.
Ryan Finn is our guest today. It's weather, 800-348-2551. A reminder, our climate change and alternative energy program is coming up in a week or two with Dan DeLurie. So this is weather today, 800-348-2551. We'll be back. Say, are you a gardener? Do you like digging in the dirt? Well, maybe you want to join us out at the Landis Arboretum on Earth Day, April 22nd at 2 p.m. I'll be there with the Gardening Show All-Stars. They're going to answer your questions about gardening. We'll do it live. We'll record it. We'll make a show out of it. So there'll be no calls that day. It'll just be you. You can be in the audience. And we're going to have Fred Breglia because he runs the Landis Arboretum. Dale Isla Riggs from the Berry Patch. Greg Ward from Ward's Nursery. All of that is happening April 22nd at 2 p.m. We want you to be there. Tickets and info available now at wamc.org/on the road. And I'm told, you know, the tickets are fairly limited, so you probably want to move on it. wamc.org/on the road. It's weather today with Ryan Finn from Spectrum News One. The number is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Jim wrote in. Two questions. You were talking about models. And Jim says, seems to me like Euro model is most accurate, at least in the winter. Your thoughts?
The European model is definitely the Ferrari of weather models.
Why? Why do you think that is?
I just think that the computing power of it is superior to a lot of the ones that the public has access to, and they put more money into it.
Okay. Number two question from Jim. Seems to me over the last five winters, but not this winter, many of the winter storms predicted a warm nose of air that was predicted to impact the Hudson River Valley up to, say, Clifton Park. In many of those storms, the warm nose actually advanced up to at least Lake George. I live near Moreau Park and love winter, so I'm not happy when that warm nose reaches us. Is global warming, okay, climate change, not yet being factored into the models? P.S., it was a great winter until we got creamed by the windstorm a week ago. And that's from Jim.
No, I believe that climate change is being accounted for within the computing power of weather models, for sure. I'm sorry about the warm nose, because usually that
is that
means,
real term, the warm nose?
Yeah, it's when we say warm nose, we talk about, remember how we were talking about sleet and freezing rain
yeah.
before? You get a warm nose above your head, so you get that warm layer, that inversion, and instead of it being all snow, you get that warm nose and it ends up being sleet and freezing rain.
I've never heard this term before.
That upsets people for different reasons. If you're a snow lover, like he said, he lives up near Moreau, and if you're a snow lover and like to go skiing at West Mountain, sleet and freezing rain ruin that. If you're not a skier, and freezing rain can have its own headaches.
You know, it's funny. Some people really take it personally. If somebody on the radio says, oh, the weather's bad, we got a foot of snow, and they're offended. They'll say, well, it's great that we have snow. But when you get to about 60 and you have to wrangle that snowblower or shovel the snow, it gets a little more annoying. Got to be honest.
You know, when I learned a lesson when I worked out in Syracuse my first winter, and I had a negative connotation to snow initially.
Yeah.
And the people that lit me up on the internet, on Facebook, you know, I didn't realize how much people just love it for sports, how many businesses that depend on it.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
You know, the Tug Hill region is snowmobile country. There's restaurants and bars built around the trails.
Yep.
And
okay.
I learned real quick that you can't really talk bad about it.
I take it all back. It was a great storm, and I had a wonderful time. 800-348-2551. All right, now, who are we going to? Let's go to Albany. It's Connie. Hello, Connie.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, you're on.
Good.
I'm calling because you were discussing sleet and freezing rain earlier, and it sparked a question in my mind about when we get hail in the summer and it's 90 degrees outside. Are those particles of hail like really huge way up there, and they, because it's 90 degrees, they melt? Or how is it that we can have that much frozen material in that hot of weather?
So that's a good question. Hail and sleet are formed differently. When you have hail in a thunderstorm, the top of the thunderstorm is actually pretty cold. And what you have happen is you have hail forming in the top of the thunderstorm, and it will come down in the downdraft of the thunderstorm. It'll then get picked back up in the updraft of the thunderstorm. When it gets picked back up, it will collect more water from super cooled droplets, super cooled rain, and go back up into the thunderstorm cloud. And this process will repeat until the hailstone is too heavy and too large for the updraft to pick it back up and throw it into the top of the thunderstorm. So then it comes down. So when you have a really, really strong thunderstorm, and you see these pictures from the Midwest of golf ball size hail and baseball size hail and grapefruit size hail, these are mega huge strong thunderstorms that we typically don't get around here. If we get a storm that produces ping pong ball size hail or golf ball size hail, that's like a once in a year type of thing for us to happen, where it happens more frequently out in the Midwest just because the conditions are riper out there for that type of thing than they are here.
Connie, thanks a lot for the call. And when tornadoes happen, there's some tremendous hail too, right?
Sometimes, and also sometimes there isn't. What makes hail and tornadoes very dangerous is, especially if you're traveling, not that you should ever voluntarily travel around a tornadic thunderstorm, but the hail core, like where the hail is in a tornadic thunderstorm, if it's not coming down in large hail balls or hail, you know, it's coming down in frequency with a lot.
Yeah.
So
Ryan Finn is our guest today, meteorologist at Spectrum News One. Are you back on the TV today?
Yeah, I'll be on TV at 4 p.m. I'm going to leave you when we're done here, and the station's about 5 minutes away.
Good. So you have time. Maybe you stop over Arby's, you get ready for the show. Let's go to Canaan, Connecticut. Joe, you're on.
Great show as always. Hi, Brian.
How's it going?
Just a little background. A long time ago, I used to live in the Hartford area, and I met like the personality weatherman, both on the radio and television. And he told me at the time that that the Hartford area in Connecticut was like the Nirvana for meteorologists. So my question is, as a meteorologist, if you could be anywhere in this country, where would you be?
Denver, Colorado.
Really? Why?
They have days where it is 85 degrees, and then the next day they can have a foot of snow. They have tornadoes. If you go east of the city of Denver, it's, you know, you're basically in the Great Plains. You can have some really big tornadoes. You can also have tornadoes that are in the mountains, which are called gustnadoes.
Gustnadoes?
Yeah, which you don't really see a lot.
Do you get sharknadoes?
Sharknadoes. No? But, just beyond the very interesting weather, I'm a big hiker. I'm a skier. My college roommate actually lives in Denver, so I've been. And just for a lifestyle reason, that's probably where I would pick.
There you go, Joe. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. Ryan Finn is our guest today. It's meteorology. And, next time you're on will be summer, and we'll be in the thick of things. Because there's more, I assume there's more energy in the atmosphere because of the heat.
Yes.
And so is it more mercurial, or is it more easy to predict?
I wouldn't say easier. I would say easier to predict. Thunderstorms, sometimes you know they're going to happen and you just don't know exactly where.
Yeah.
Especially if they're not coming in with a specific front.
Yeah.
But overall, I would say it's easier for our area than the wintertime.
But in your words, not necessarily your words, but paraphrasing, this is a piece of cake compared to predicting in Denver.
Yes.
Interesting.
Not a piece of, it's just, it's different. It's different.
All right.
You know.
Ryan Finn is our guest. It's weather today. 800-348-2551 is the number. Dottie's in Newburgh. Hello, Dottie.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I had a couple of questions.
Okay.
One was, why does the temperature seem to drop just prior to sunrise?
Why does the temperature seem to drop just before sunrise?
Well, it's literally the coldest part of the night. You have, you know, once the sun sets, that's typically around the warmest part of the day. Depends on cloud cover. If you have a clear sky and sun sets at 8 p.m. and then you don't have sunrise until 6 a.m., it's the latest part of the night that you're radiating heat. So you're going to drop to whatever it is, and it's going to be the coldest, you know, right at 6 a.m. Say that's when sunrise is, and then you get an hour and the temperature will jump up a few degrees or maybe even more than that. But it's literally just the latest part of the night. And it's more true in the wintertime, too, because especially when you have snow on the ground, you need the sun to warm up the surface and then to start, you know, cooking things up near the surface to get the temperature going back up.
All right. Dottie, you had another question.
Yes. I recently moved here from Arizona, and right now they're getting bombarded with breaking records of 100 and above.
Yeah.
For a whole week. And I was wondering, is this a climate change, or they've broken records from 1886. So it's pretty hot out there.
You could
all triple digit.
Yeah, you can make the argument for sure. We were talking about it earlier that there is a very large area of high pressure that is allowing all that heat to come up from further south, and nothing is moving that big bubble of high pressure. So that's why it's so prolonged this week.
All right, Dottie, thank you. 800-348-2551. Ken is in Albany. Ken, go ahead.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
Question about about AI and weather prediction. Several years ago, I read about a study somewhere in East Africa. I forget just which country. There was prone to sudden flooding and that lives would be lost in homes and this and that. So I'm not sure who, whether they trained an AI with all sorts of meteorological measurements and variables going back in time, and what that trained it to associate those variables with the weather that came after a certain amount of time afterwards. And then they started running questions about the future. What the bottom line was, they were able with the AI to accurately predict the weather like 10 days out in front instead of the 4 days, which is as good as they could get without it. Do you use AI in your weather prediction?
Yes, I do. There's AI weather models that we look at every day. The scenario that you just described is a very specific, very small place. And it sounds like the sample size of them being right was just one 10-day period. I don't know if that would be the case over an entire year. Not saying that it didn't happen, but no, I do use AI. It definitely has its place right now. I think it's only going to get better.
You said there's some limitations, however,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like I said, I think it's only going to improve. I hope that we can use it as a tool instead of it replacing what we do.
Well, Ken, thank you. 800-348-2551. It's Ryan Finn from Spectrum News One. Weather today, 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Diane in Worcester, New York says, okay, you probably don't know this, but in the morning we have a long weather forecast. Paul Cayano does a long weather forecast.
Okay. I know he does that. He's done it for a while.
And he always mentions the Eureka temperature. And Diane wants to know, why does the Albany forecast include Eureka, Canada? Is it the coldest temperature in North America?
I don't know why it's included. Maybe just because it's a cool name and it's fun to say.
I think that goes back prior to Paul. I think that Mike Landon was one of those.
Mike Landon was one of my professors.
Oh, he was great. And he came up the other day because he told me, I think I did a recorded interview with him, kind of an exit interview when he got out.
Yeah.
And he always said, never say partly cloudy. It's always partly sunny.
You got to be positive. That's why.
I don't know. I prefer negative. By the way, Diane lives in Worcester, New York. Here's a question. I've taken many of my children down to college from Oneonta to Binghamton. It always seems to drop around Oneonta. Temperature, we watch it on the car, and it will drop. Is there a reason for that?
Elevation. It's a little higher. Binghamton is down in a valley, and depending on the time of the day and the time of the year, Oneonta will be significantly colder.
Hmm.
Usually just based on elevation. Yeah.
Did the La Nina that we had have any appreciable effect on our winter? I thought it was going to be warmer and wetter.
Snowier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So not.
Yeah.
Quite
usually
warm
when
enough.
We have La Nina, it's it trends snowier than average for us.
Okay, let's go to Greg in Hyde Park. Greg, you're on with Ryan Finn.
Well, Ray, you just sort of asked my question about La Nina.
Oh.
I'm wondering, at this point, do we know whether next winter will be El Nino or La Nina? Or
oh, great
will
question.
We mean less? I don't...
Yeah, we... we don't really get an idea of what the ocean temperature out in the Pacific is going to be until like the middle of the summer. We start getting an idea if it's going to be an El Nino or a La Nina. So that's, yeah.
Okay. Greg, you want to follow up?
Does that indicate even how significant if they say it's going to be La Nina, and does that indicate necessarily that we will get snowfall, increasing amounts of snowfall, or does it just mean it's possible?
It means it's possible. If you ever listen to anyone, not just me or NPR, the Weather Channel, do a seasonal winter outlook, if they use the word moderate La Nina or strong La Nina, that just means that it's increasingly, because you can have La Nina, but it would be barely out of the neutral and it doesn't really matter. So.
All right, Greg. Well, thanks a lot for the call. All right, Ryan Finn, we're about out of time here. You did a great job. When are you on? You're on at 4 o'clock today. When's your regular schedule on Spectrum News One?
I am on Monday through Friday evenings, beginning at 4 p.m. And if you wake up late at night and you can't go to sleep, you turn on the TV at 2 a.m., you'll still see me up there at 2 a.m. telling you the weather.
Okay, so when my house almost blew away, you were on tape.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Well, you seemed live. Anyway, great job, sir. Do you guys have a website people can find out more?
SpectrumLocalNews.com.
Great to have you on the program. We look forward to seeing you in the summer. By the way, Mike wrote in, Ryan's correct about Denver weather. Having spent a year there when Lowry Air Force Base was there, the saying there was, don't like the weather? Wait 20 minutes. And that's from Mike in Clifton Park.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, thanks for being here. Support comes from Ambrose Electric Standby Power, an electrical contractor providing sales service and installation of residential and commercial Generac automatic standby generators, serving the Greater Capital District for over 45 years, AmbroseLEC.com. Good friend Ecological Gardens, Niskayuna, a residential and commercial garden design service helping clients grow biodiverse and sustainable garden habitats across the Capital District. More information at goodfriendgardens.com. And Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York, providing a continuum of care for seniors, offering them opportunities to live and age gracefully with dignity and respect. daughtersofsarah.org. Thanks again to Ryan Finn for being here today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for the emails. Thanks to our engineer, Mr. Michael Bowen. Thanks to Ed Rosen, who screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Well, let's see. Today is Tuesday. That makes tomorrow Wednesday. I think it's Pets and Vets. We'll see you tomorrow at 2:00.